Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. You know, when the target is moving and the information is dubious, it's hard to respond credibly to events. That is the situation we may find ourselves in the Middle East today. A crisis regarding the quality of intelligence guiding White House policy at the very same moment as Turkey and Russia are getting into it near the Syrian border. It's hardly the first time the CIA, you'll recall, called evidence of Saddam Hussein's nuclear program a slam dunk. Not quite. Earlier, the Vietnam War was prolonged by what were eventually found to be overly optimistic counts of enemy killed on the battlefield and a misplaced faith in air power. Well, we will look at the problems with U.S. intelligence regarding ISIS just a little later this hour. Also, the tragic idea that a sorry chapter in American history might be repeating itself. The niece of a real American hero gets a medal at the White House for her uncle. Lots more to explain about that. But first, the latest downing of a Russian plane shot down by Turkey, called by Russia's Vladimir Putin a stab in the back. Does this represent an escalation in the conflict? Does it raise more doubts about Russia, the U.S., France, Britain, and Turkey working together in this crowded region? Soner Chayaptay is the director of the Turkish Research Program at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He joins me from Ankara, Turkey. Soner, what's the situation right now as far as the Turkish media is reporting this?
Well, unrelated, I happen to be in Ankara for my own meetings and work today, and this is a very tense situation between Turkey and Russia. The two countries are historic enemies. The Ottoman Turks and the Russians fought 17 wars between the 19th century and the end of the Russian Empire with the Bolshevik Revolution. And all these wars were started by the Russians, and guess who lost all of them? The Ottoman Turks. So Turkey is in no position to pick a fight with the Russians, but they also want to tell the Russians, stay out of our airspace. And I think today's event of the Turkey shooting down a Russian plane was a clear signal to the Russians that Turkey doesn't want to pick a fight, but it also should not be forced to defend its own territory.
What's become of the pilots, as far as we know?
It looks like they're on the ground. They might even be in the hands of FSA, that's Free Syrian Army rebels. So this is definitely a serious escalation. And it also comes on the day that, just as I'm in Ankara, the vice chair of Joint Chief of Staff, General Selva, is in Ankara. So this is obviously an interesting timing. Turkey is also showing to Russia that its old ally, United States, is back. And there is some more domestic context to what happened today. Russia, for a while, had been bombing areas in northern Syria that are populated by Turkmens, in which the anti-regime forces are active. And Turkish media was just really up in arms against the suffering of the Turkmens, who are ethnically related to the Turks, in the hands of the Russians. So it looks like the government is killing a few birds with one stone, not only giving Russia a signal to stay out of Turkish airspace, but also telling the Turkish public that it is doing something at least to protect the Turkmens and to prevent their suffering in the hands of Russian planes.
Is there any clarity as to whether the Russian plane actually did enter Turkish airspace, or is that...
It looks that it did. I have seen some social media reporting and also talked to some friends in government here, which suggests that the Russians did violate Turkish airspace. In fact, Russian planes had been violating Turkish airspace ever since Russia deployed troops and planes into northern Syria. And part of it is driven by necessity, not that the Russians always want to violate airspace, but the way the rebel positions are so close to the Turkish border, and these planes sometimes have to make big loops when they maneuver, so they are forced to violate Turkish airspace. But Turkey's basically saying this is the end of Turkish tolerance and patience with the symbolic act today. We hope that it does not escalate because nobody's interested in a full-scale war. But I've also seen reports that Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov just canceled his visit to Ankara, which was supposed to take place tomorrow, to discuss Syria. So this is a serious escalation in Turkish-Russian ties, probably the most serious escalation since the end of the Cold War, when obviously Turkey was with the United States against communist Russia. And we haven't seen anything like this in 20 years or more, I would say.
What do you make of the NATO emergency meeting in Brussels today? What do you think can come out of that? Will it be solidarity for Turkey, or will it be an attempt to reassure Russia that we're not picking a fight?
Absolutely solidarity. I think NATO is a rock-hard, solid alliance when it comes to standing against Russia. And I think, especially because Turkey is an alliance member, it's no less than, let's say, NATO defending Estonia or Poland. I think NATO will come in a strong statement in favor of the Turkish position, especially because it seems that Turkey was exercising its right to self-defense when the Russian plane had crossed into Turkish airspace as it was shut down. So I think that we can expect a solid NATO statement in favor of Turkey.
Is NATO's position on the Kurds the same position as Turkey's approach to the Kurds? The United States, of course, is very much in bed with the Kurds in Iraq, trying to support the territory of the Kurds and to roll back ISIS.
Well, in Syria, it is, meaning in Syria, United States is working with Kurdish groups to push back against ISIS, but not in Iraq, where there is a Turkish-Kurdish group called the PKK, and this group is recognized as a terrorist entity, not only by Turkey and the United States, but also by NATO, and that's not going to change anytime soon. So I think U.S. policy and NATO policy on the Kurds is rather nuanced, and even in Syria, I think there are limitations to this policy. The Kurds there, in their groups known as the Party for Democratic Unity, PYD, and its armed wing, YPG, have helped liberate some territory from ISIS, and that was welcome news. But at the same time, many folks that I speak with at the Department of Defense and other U.S. government agencies are very aware of the fact that the reach of the Kurds in Syria is limited, meaning they can only take from ISIS areas that are Kurdish, but one should not realistically expect them to take over from ISIS areas that are not Kurdish. And I think we have seen the end of Kurdish push against ISIS now that the Kurds have taken much of the areas that are ethnically Kurdish, but they have come to the end of their physical expansion. At this stage, I think the United States needs Sunni Arab allies for a significant push against ISIS in Syria.
Soner Çayapte is director of the Turkish Research Program at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, speaking to us from Ankara. Soner, thanks so much.
It's my pleasure.